Hi guys, welcome back to The Runoff. I'm Erica here with my editor and producer, Richie.
What's up?
Today we are going to touch a little bit on what happened last week, which was redirecting funds in police departments and them being given to places like social work and other community services where the community can be better served. And not just focused on policing, which I, again, not to get it too much into last week, but I think that's kind of, obviously I'm for that if you listen to last week's episode at all. And it's not really about not giving police enough money to do their jobs or firing police or getting rid of police. It's more about having people who are better trained in situations deal with those situations, calling social workers for mental health and having the men with the gun come when they need men with the gun and not because there's a fire or some other random thing where they're not needed. So I am going to touch on that a little bit. As a matter of fact, I'll just start with that since I'm on that topic. Where did I read it? I think it was in City Lab. I'll read a quote from someone in there. It said, "By reducing the number of police deployed, demilitarizing them, and rethinking their role in prosecuting smaller offenses, advocates say cities could cut departments down to scale. With the money saved, cities could reallocate resources toward other public services like schools, social workers, and mental health professionals, and away from enforcement and incarceration." So some cities that have been kind of leaning towards that idea are Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, Dallas, Austin, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Chicago, Hartford, New York City, Philadelphia, Baltimore, DC, and Durham. So, that's a lot of the coastal, north, the West Coast and the East Coast, not so much mid or south so much, but strides are being made. People are starting to see that in communities that are being over-policed and over-surveilled, they could be doing better for the people in it so that they aren't getting in trouble and then don't have to look at the police as an issue at all, which I think is amazing. You guys know I'm from Boston and they just banned the chokehold. But what they also did that I really liked is they put something in place where police will now be held accountable for not speaking against their partner or whatever other boys in blue are misbehaving. So what they're trying to do is do away with that whole brotherhood idea of I'm going to watch you possibly break some kid's nose or something and help you create a false report about it or just keep my mouth shut and not say anything. Because if you guys noticed, whenever you see these police who are murdering people in the streets, they had like 17, 10, 11, 8, 13 and infractions on them against them already. And it's not even like, oh, because it's over the course of 20 years. It's like in the last 3 years sometimes. It's like ridiculous. Actually, the cop who shot Breonna Taylor, let me get into that real quick. So I also wanted to kind of touch on the laws and different things that have been passed since the marching and the protests and all of that have started. Mayor Greg Fisher of Louisville, Kentucky, said that he plans to sign Breonna's Law after city council members voted unanimously on Thursday evening to ban no-knock warrants. In addition to barring the execution of the no-knock warrants, the measure also sets new guidelines for other types of warrants, and it sets a 5 minute, what do you call that? Basically, when the police are wearing body cameras, they have to have them on 5 minutes before they deliver the warrant or, do whatever they need to do up until 5 minutes after, so that it covers the entire scenario, which I think is super important. The officer who shot Breonna Taylor actually had many complaints against him for sexual assault There were women who said that he offered to give them rides while they were drunk and then, you know, sexually assaulted them in a car or attempted to sexually assault them in a car. There was another man who said that he was being harassed by him, that he was planting things on him because they dated the same woman. I mean, this guy was a hot mess. And I think that the body camera situation would be really great for someone like him, because what I was thinking when I heard the 5 minutes, I mean, that's all fine and good to start, but I was thinking that maybe it even needs to be longer before and after, for the simple fact that the guy who shot Breonna Taylor, he fired 20 times into the house, and they were saying more than 10 of those shots were fired from outside of the house. So before he went in. So not only did they do a no-knock warrant to where he didn't even announce himself and they had no idea that cops were coming in, he's firing from outside. Okay? And I was thinking that where is the recording of the game plan, right? Because if they do the game plan, if they go over their game plan about how they're going to execute this, the deliverance of this warrant, right? If they talk about that 2 minutes before they go in, 5 minutes is great. But if they talk about that 15 minutes before in, then I want to see that 15 minutes. I want that 15 minutes recorded, because this should be knowledge that he fired this many times before going in. Also, speaking of this no-knock warrant, I was completely shocked that they had something like this in a stand-your-ground state, for the simple fact that, for those of you who don't know what stand-your-ground is, I live in Florida, so, you know, it's common knowledge to me, but stand-your-ground means if you are in a place that you are supposed to be, like your work or your job, you are allowed to shoot people in self-defense who come into that place to do you harm. So if you in Kentucky have a gun that you are licensed for and you are in your home and someone breaks in, you're allowed to shoot at them. If the cops do not have to identify themselves, that means you could potentially shoot police who have a warrant to come in because they chose not to knock first. And so what shocked me about this was not that civilians were in danger, but that the police were, right? Because if you're a police officer who has every right to come in without knocking, you could lose your life. Right. So I'm just like, that was just a crazy lot of me. But, you know, good thing that they did have that, because they did arrest Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, who shot back at them, but had to let him go because it's a stand your ground state. And he was completely in his right to do what he did. Also, to the point of redirecting funds, this officer doubled his salary in 2015 and 2017 with overtime pay. Overtime. This is a guy who's sexually harassing and assaulting women, who's planting things on a guy because he dates the same woman, and he's doing this and getting overtime. And I'm not saying that people who work hard don't deserve overtime. What I'm saying is, maybe if he didn't have to do so much, he could have stuck to his regular hours and wouldn't have been able to do additional nonsense on the clock and be paid. Literally, hold on, I'm going to tell you guys because I wrote it down. He collected $150,530 in 1 year. In 2015, yeah, that was in 2015. And then in 2017, he collected an additional $58,593, doubling his pay. And this is why while he's doing things that are unbecoming of a regular citizen, let alone a cop.
It's interesting you say that, because if it makes it almost feel like he's getting rewarded for being bad.
Yeah.
So as psychology, it's like that boosts like your ego. Like, yeah. Now you feel like unstoppable, almost, like, you know, it's like,
oh,
I'm getting paid, I'm doing these things and I'm getting more money. So it's kind of like, even like himself, probably you get lost in that, like, you know, just like celebrities get lost in fame. He probably like, oh, I'm killing people and I'm making more money. You just become,
and yeah, and on top of not even necessarily what he's thinking,
yeah,
but imagine me as a rookie, right?
Yeah,
I'm not getting any overtime yet. So I'm making a lot less than you, and look at the moves you're making. You're doing no-knock warrant shooting 20 times from outside. They had witnesses who overheard a cop yelling, who they think was most likely him, because I think he was in charge or something, but they heard him yell, reload. And this is outside of the house. They heard him yell, reload. So you haven't even gone inside yet, and you've shot enough times into that house that you're now yelling, reload, to go in.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just, it's really disturbing. But this is why I'm, you know, excited about Breonna's Law.
Okay.
There's so many things that need to happen, and there's so much change that needs to be made. And I think before George Floyd, right, this happened, and we weren't making noise about it because I was unaware of it. But the noise that we made brought attention to more and more causes, right? People were like, hey, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about this? And now they're talking about reopening up all these other cases. You know, it brought light to a lot of situations. And my whole point of this podcast was, you know, the progress that has been made because of marching and protesting, how much farther we have to go, and the, you know, but also staying encouraged because change is already being made and change is already happening. So I am proud of, you know, the people today who have had the courage to go out and the courage to speak up and the courage to bring attention to what's been happening in our community forever, because none of this is new to Black or African American people. This is all very common knowledge. This is all very much what we're used to. Our stories are the same as our father's stories and uncle's stories and grandfather's and grandparents' stories. But us talking about it has made it an American issue and not a Black issue. And as Black people, whatever is an issue for us is an American issue. But I think, you know, America has also made it very easy to seem like it's not. And, you know, bringing light to our plight is how this law got put into place. And hopefully it's how a lot of other change will get done. I also wanted to talk about some of the people who have been charged and held accountable since all this has happened, because that's something we are really not used to seeing. I mean, we all watched the video of, it makes me emotional just even talking about it, the video of Tamir Rice sitting in a park by himself, and in like 10 seconds, the cop pulls up and shoots him. No questions asked, just pulls up in front of him, blasts. That's it. And a 12-year-old is gone in the blink of an eye. And do you know where that cop is today? He got put in another precinct. He's still a cop.
Okay.
He's still working. Nothing happened to him. And those kind of stories just make us feel like our lives don't matter, which is why we have to say Black Lives Matter. Because it's like, when something like that happens, it's like, if that was a 12-year-old little white boy, come on. Come on. Not only would that police officer have been fired, the chief would have had to step down. And the mayor would have had to talk about hiring better people and, you know, new training. And the family would have got like $160 billion or whatever. Like, it's been really discouraging to see those kind of things and hear those stories over and over and not see anything. So I just want to shed light on these charges that have been brought to these officers. In the case of George Floyd, Chauvin, the officer who had his knee on his neck, got second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. And the other three officers were charged with aiding and abetting second-degree murder and aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter.
I don't know if you heard. They said that that officer killed somebody like 2 years ago prior.
Yes. I am so sorry. I feel like so silly right now because I remember reading that, and now I can't remember if he just shot a bunch of people or some. No, somebody did die.
Somebody did die.
That's what it was. He did actually kill somebody, but even before that,
he
shot people.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
It's a long record with this guy.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I was saying with the police holding each other accountable as well is that these people have like 15 infractions, 17 infractions, 11 infractions, 10 infractions. Just like, how many times? Like, if I'm at my job, I get written up 3 times, I gotta go. You know what I mean? You get written up 3 times, you get fired. You're on the unemployment line. So it's like, when you are held to the highest accord of the law, right? Why don't you have to uphold it?
Yeah.
You know, you just get to break all these rules. What are the point of the rules?
I mean, we have...
That's how I would feel if I was a police officer. What are the point of the rules?
Yeah.
Because you're not doing anything about it. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Nothing. He still has the job. Like, he still has his pension.
Yeah. Like, don't we have the 3-strike rule? Like, after 3 strikes, you go to jail for, like, 25 years type of thing?
Oh, yeah. It's like life.
So...
Yeah.
It should be strikes. The same energy for them, too.
You know, in retail, we work so hard to sell the stuff that we get like 50% off. I don't think cops should get that deal. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think cops are like, you have to uphold the law, so you're being held to the highest standard. You know what I mean? Like, there are teachers who spend their own money in a classroom and teach kids every single day. But if they got caught with pictures being taken of them by an old boyfriend when they were 19, they get fired.
Yeah.
Why? Because they are the moral precedent to these young, influential kids, right? You can't. They don't want you to be like a porn star and influencing children. So if you're an officer, shouldn't you be the greatest example of the law that you're trying to enforce? You're enforcing it, but you don't need to uphold it. You know, it's a complete double standard and complete hypocrisy.
Can I run off with you? I'm writing the mark. I just since we're talking about cops and stuff, like, you don't feel like I'm not gonna say we feel sorry for them, but you don't feel like sorry for, like, I guess sorry for them in the sense that, like, they deal with like homicides and murders all day. Like, that does something to you mentally, emotionally. Like, there has to be, like, they don't even do therapy and they deal with, like...
They're supposed to. But, I mean, they have therapists. If you watch Law & Order, you would see that, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not...
No. I'm messing with you. I see what you're saying, but it's the job you signed up for. You know, my job... Not that I would ever compare retail to being a police officer. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is, I know that I'm going to get verbal abused every day. Like, people don't give a shit about you. They're like, oh, this is a girl who, like... is here to do my bidding. They're completely disrespectful. They don't care about you. They think that you make like $10 an hour. Sorry. That's not the case. But I could complain. I do actually. I go to the bar after work and I'm like, these motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Like, these fucking people. I do complain, but it's the job that I signed up for. So it's like, I'm not going to go to my boss and be like, that woman was so rude to me. I can't even believe it. It's just like, it's a day in the life of retail. Like, yeah, you're going to get shot at. That's why you have a gun. Like, this is the job you signed up for. It's not that I don't feel bad for any of them at all. It's the fact of, again, it's you, if you're going to be in that position, make it look good. You know, you be the good person.
Yeah.
You do better.
Yeah.
You hold your other officers accountable.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of saying that there's good cops. Like, we're not stupid. We all live in a country where there's good and bad in every single group. Every single group has good and bad. Nobody's sitting here saying all of the police are horrible in the entire world, in the country, in the city, in the state of America. Like, we're talking currently about the problems that have been around for so long that need to be repaired.
What about far as Black people? Why don't we go be part of it? Like, every Black person apply to be a cop. Like, go actually.
We have actually said that in certain situations that cops have not been hired in neighborhoods where they work. Oh, and that's, you know, that's really upsetting too. But yeah, of course, part of the problem would be to hire people who work in their own neighborhoods. Like, that would be phenomenal because you're less likely to shoot the 14-year-old who, you know, stole a bag of chips because, you know, his mom is at work all day and he has no money and he's hungry and there's no food in the house and he just wanted to get some chips. You know what I mean? Like, but you're not going to sentence that kid to death.
Not just the whole neighborhood, just more black cops in general. I think because I could be wrong, but the guy was saying like the NYPD, no, the LAPD, as bad as they are, every department, they try to have a certain amount of black people in it to keep the...
Yeah, that's a thing that's already in I'm pretty sure, most states.
Okay.
Yeah, I was saying before we ran off, the officers who were being charged. So in the case of Ahmaud Arbery, the father and son were charged with murder, but the guy who filmed it also was charged with murder. And that's what I was, you know, really happy about, because as you see in the video, he's recording it the whole time. He could have stopped. He even helps to block him in. And he knew about it the whole time that he had the tape and did nothing. So I feel like he should be held just as accountable as the other two. And they are, all three are being charged with murder. And in the case of Rashad Brooks, you know, you can see that he's intoxicated. And a lot of people were like, oh, maybe it was self-defense for the cop because he had a taser. I will tell you right now, a taser will not kill you. A gun will. And we're not talking about in the cases of like when you have a bad heart and all that, because I know what everybody's going to say. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in this specific situation. Also, I have had friends in the police force and they told me that they were tased in training, because that way you're not as afraid of it. And that way, you know what you are, the pain that you are inflicting on somebody when you do it. Okay. So he knew he wasn't going to die when he saw that taser, but he still felt the need to shoot somebody three times. The thing about that, which is also cool about the body cams, because I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the reason why that guy was charged on 11 counts, one being aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, including murder, I'm pretty sure he got charged that because of his body cam. After he shot him, he kicked him and stood on his shoulders and waited to call any kind of help for him while he laid there bleeding and dying.
Do you think, I don't know, because you've been following it, I haven't really been following it, like, do you think all these cops are getting charged with the right things?
That's, you know what, the because, only reason why I think that they possibly are is because there's so many counts. There's like 12 counts against this person, 11 counts against this person, five counts against. So that makes me believe possibly, but, and this is, I don't want to skip to the end, but also about that is, we're so happy, you know, we protested in all of this and we brought light to these, you know, cases, and now they're being charged, right? That's not enough. We can't stop there, because we have seen in other cases where they were charged and arrested and nothing happened. They went home. They were acquitted. They went home, or they went to other police departments in other states. And I forget the name of that woman, but she shot that guy on the highway in broad daylight. They had the helicopter above it, showed everything. And she is now doing talks around the country for other police who shoot people and how to get over it and how to, like, make it through life after you murder somebody and just keep it moving. That's a job. That's her new career. And I don't know about you, but from what I hear, people who do speaking engagements make more than police. So she murdered somebody and is now financially benefiting from that in a greater way. But yeah, so that's just a few of the cases where officers were actually charged. And I think that's phenomenal. I'm glad this is happening. I don't want it to be the mood of the moment, where these people are just getting charged because we're still all, you know, fired up and ready to go. I want this to be an ongoing thing. And I think this is part of, you know, the, I don't want to say police reform, because we've tried that a million times and it was not successful. I want to say part of the defunding or dismantling or, you know, reorganizing of the police. I feel like if they know that they're going to be charged very seriously with a crime, they're less likely to commit them. I feel like if they think that their partner might hold them accountable and immediately go to their superiors and be like, this guy is a hot mess and he doesn't need to be carrying a gun and he doesn't need to be in the hood because he's racist. I think that helps as well. I think all of this is a great move, but I think that we have to remember that this is where it starts.
Do you think becoming a cop should be a harder process?
Yes, I definitely do.
Because it takes a doctor 18 years to save a life. 7 years?
Eight. I'm pretty sure it's eight.
8 years, that's it, to become a doctor?
About eight.
No. Yeah? Oh, maybe. But obviously I didn't turn out to be a doctor, but but you know, and it's like 6 months and you can take away somebody's life. And then like I have 6 months, oh cool. Now I can so it should be like some people suggested, like it should be like bachelor's degrees, and you gotta have like even the military's some guy was saying they train 18 months before they go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like army training.
Yeah. I think that it should be, I mean, maybe something more like just a different kind of training.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it should be. I'm not going to sit here and say that I have any idea of how many hours. I know we've all heard that famous quote that a hairstylist gets, you know, more hours of training than a police officer. What they said was the breakdown of that is they're talking about a specific kind of training and then the police get more training on top of that. So that's not entirely true, even though I've quoted that one myself a time or two. But I think that the training just needs to be different. I think that they needed to be trained on some kind of like sociology where they can understand that the mindset of someone who grew up in the suburbs and the mindset of someone who grew up in a very impoverished community is going to need different handling. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think that the training just has to be very different.
I think it should be like the Olympics. We should watch them train. Like nope, he can't go. Tell him to do it again.
You know what? I laugh with you a little bit, but I have heard that different parts of the department no longer do the physical training part.
Oh.
And I don't want to like fat shame anyone or anything like that, but if someone is charging at you and you know that you are not physically fit to fight them,
there's
or
no
to handle
physical
yourself
requirement.
Yeah, there's it's like at certain departments where there is still, but there's plenty of departments in the police where you don't have to have it and you still get a gun.
Yeah,
so it's like if you're not in any kind of shape to
no it's okay fight I understand because
a 19 year old kid. Yeah, you're gonna go to your gun.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And it's not shaming because even in the army, it's a you can't be 300 pounds.
Yeah,
you have to be a certain weight.
And that's what I
mean. To go in,
if
even to apply,
you're more likely to try to defend yourself with a weapon, like a taser, a baton, or a gun, than to kind of shoot the fair one with a kid who's just not trying to go back to jail. You know what I mean? Like,
will we ever go to a place that this is probably La La Land, but with cops just have no guns?
Not in our lifetime. Okay. Not in our lifetime. And the only reason why is because it's in our Constitution.
The Second Amendment?
Yeah, that you have the right to bear arms.
Okay.
So because we have the right to bear arms, they're not just going to send police out there with no guns, you know? I watch like shows like I think it's Luther that I was watching, and the cops don't have guns.
Okay.
So, and the reason why is because...
Where they don't have guns? Europe? London?
Different parts of Europe.
Okay.
But yeah, they don't have guns.
Yeah.
They literally, whenever there was a situation where they had to like go into a dangerous place, they had to call SWAT. Like every time.
Oh.
They had to call SWAT. Yeah. Like if they were going after a bad guy and it was time to arrest them, they called SWAT.
Well,
because
maybe
they don't have guns. And
well,
they're like,
maybe
well, this
that's
person
saved lives. Maybe have the right person.
Their murder rate, not even just police brutality, their murder rate is like, compared to ours, it's like practically zero. It's null. You know what I mean? Like it's not a real issue there because people in the streets don't have them, so the cops don't need them.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I just wanted to shed light on that as a positive because although we still have a lot more to do and although we still have a ways to go, things are happening, and it's happened in this amount of time because of the work that we've put in this amount of time. And I see the protests dwindling, and I see the posts coming up less and less. I just don't want people to forget that there's still a lot more that we need to do, but also don't get discouraged because things are happening.
Yeah.
So that was really the point of this episode. I also want to say happy Juneteenth. I know this episode isn't going out till like the 22nd or something like that, but we're recording this on Juneteenth. So happy Juneteenth to all. I think it's really sad that like I was scrolling through and a lot of people didn't know what Juneteenth was. I mean, even if I didn't memorize the exact, I mean, I knew I knew that it took place on June 19th, 1865. I couldn't remember if it was actually 1862 or 1863 that the first slaves were freed. But even in not knowing the exact dates and everything, I knew what it was. And it was just like, oh, man, like there were people my age who were like, I grew up in like North Carolina and I never even heard of it till a few years ago when I watched Black-ish. And I'm like, that's why I love Black-ish, because, you know, it's educational. It does teach people of other races and about our culture. But I was just like, wow, like that was the first time you heard of it. Like, it's so sad. And that brings me to another point of like Black American history is American history, right? Because we're here. I'm not a Black person from another country who came here expecting you to learn about what happened to me in another country, although it would be great if we did learn about the whole world. But it's just like, this is American history. Yeah, it affected Black people in this way, but it's American history too, because what about the slaves who owned them? What about the slaves who didn't tell them? What about slave owners? What about the slave owners who didn't tell their slaves they were free? What about the slave owners who knew their slaves couldn't read and write, or had to pretend they didn't know how to read and write? They're probably bringing the paper to their, you know, master, and seeing that the slaves are freed on top of the paper, they can't do anything about it. What are they going to do? Act like they read it? So it's like, you know, they sat there for all those two, three extra years, and they sat there for that extra time. And so that may have happened in a negative way to impact the slaves, but it also is the participation of the slave master not following the laws that were passed. So it's not just Black history, it's American history. And honestly, anything that happened to Black people while we were on the soil of this land is American history. And that is why it all needs to be taught. It didn't just affect us, it affects the entire country. And I also think that when you know, people are like, oh, like I'm just learning with privileges and stuff like that. If Black American history was taught in schools as American history, I feel like you might even have less racism, because racism is not something that people are born with, it's taught, right? So if you can teach people the negative and horrible effects that racism had, maybe their parents won't turn them. Maybe they won't be that ostracized kid in school who needs to find a group and goes to the Aryans. You know, maybe that kid who's ostracized and needs to find a group goes to Glee Club or the chess club or plays basketball because he, you know, gets some confidence. You know, I think if it's taught, history repeats itself. And if history is taught, then maybe it has less of a chance to repeat the negative parts of history. I will quickly name some places like Texas, who was the first to make it a paid holiday in 1980. But I mean, they needed to do that. They were the ones who were the last to Juneteenth is because of them. They were the last ones to free their slaves. Nike is doing paid holidays. My friend actually has a sister who works for Nike, and she was like, yes, it's not cap, it's legit, we got the memo, it's gonna be a paid holiday. And Virginia is trying to make it a paid holiday, and the city council in Portland, Oregon is trying to make it a paid holiday for city employees. Congress hasn't approved a national holiday since MLK Day in 1983, and I think it was two reps in Texas, I hope it's Texas, because I feel bad if it was somebody else and I'm giving Texas credit, but I think it was Texas that a few reps there are getting together to try to implement it as a federal law to have it a paid federal holiday. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I just wanted to shed some light on the reasons for optimism,
yeah,
and all of this that's going on. it's sad to say that if somebody died again at the hands of the police, no one would be surprised. And I think that that's just a testament to the fact that we need to keep fighting.
But it honestly, it just did. After George Floyd.
Rayshad, yeah.
It just happened.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Literally 2 weeks later.
Exactly.
And it's like.
Exactly. So it's like, you don't want to do all of this protesting and marching and still see that and just get so down that you think it's pointless. So this episode was just, again, to shed light on some of the good things that have been happening with all of the protesting and marching and speaking out and posting and all of that and donating, because I know a lot of us have donated, even in the time of a pandemic when we don't have jobs, I've still been donating and, you know, putting links for other people to donate, and they're like, oh, thank you, I'm going to donate to this. You know, like, we're all trying to do our part, and I don't want anybody to be discouraged while these bad things are still happening. You know, slavery happened over 400 years, and we're not going to clean it up overnight. We're not going to clean it up in, you know, even 5 years. The work needs to continue. As Nipsey said, the marathon continues. You know, we just have to keep pushing forward, but just know that change is happening and change will continue to happen.
So can I have an honest opinion from you?
Sure.
Do you feel that, I mean, do you feel like we'll ever be equal? Like,
yes.
Okay.
In our lifetime, I'm about to be 37. In our lifetime, maybe not.
Okay.
But here's my thing. If you are a racist person, that should be none of my business. Your racism and your personal thoughts and ideas on the color of my skin should not affect my day-to-day life. So when you say equal, do I think that a white person is going to look at me and there won't be any white people who look at me and feel racism? I don't think that'll ever happen.
Okay.
But do I think laws will pass so that their racism does not affect me?
Yeah.
Does not affect my ability for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Yes. I think laws will be passed and things will be in place that someday, you know, black men and women won't die in the street unnecessarily. That women who are giving birth and saying, I feel pain, will be listened to. And that biases can be untaught to make a better life, that we can look towards equality. Yes, I do believe that.
Okay.
And with that, thanks for listening. Protect your energy.